Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're right. My goodness, we have a lot to get to today. I have a great show planned. I got to kind of fit 30 pounds of rice into a 20-pound bag here. You already heard me tell Newell in the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to be speaking to Harvard University astrophysicist Avi Loeb. He'll be joining us to talk about 3I Atlas. 3I Atlas is a comet, maybe, a comet streaking through our solar system from deep interstellar space. But is it really just a comet, or could it be something else? Because 3I Atlas is doing some pretty uncomet-like stuff. It's slowing down. It's shedding a never-before-seen in nature, a nickel alloy that does not naturally occur in nature, either here on planet Earth or in space. It is only used in human manufacturing. As part of like a smelting process? I don't know. I'll have to ask the professor about this. But why is this comet giving off this nickel alloy that only occurs in human manufacturing processes? We've never seen that before. It's bizarre. Scientists are running out of time to figure out what's going on here. And it is a bit weird that the government is shut down at this moment. And as a result, NASA is not releasing any of its like high definition images that it has of this thing. So we don't have a great idea of what it looks like. Do not miss this conversation. That's coming up at 3:20. I think it's going to make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be an awesome chat with Avi Loeb about this cosmic visitor that could rewrite everything that we think we know about who or what might be out there. In this first hour, Louisiana might be done with politics. Politics is not done with Louisiana. Senator Bill Cassidy is facing new challengers from his right flank, and the dust is still settling after that bruising New Orleans mayoral race. We'll talk a little bit about what's next for Oliver Thomas and Royce Duplessis now that their bids came up short, and who's already positioning for the next big fight. And we'll see what we can learn about, you know, what will the Supreme Court say about redistricting? Because that's going to have a huge impact on not only what happens here, but depending on how the Supreme Court rules on this case, it could functionally mean the end of the Voting Rights Act. Really, that's not an exaggeration to say that. And it could mean, you know, with, you know, Republican-led states, you know, in this fury to redistrict, to crack and pack minority voters into smaller and smaller blocks until they don't get to send anybody to Congress. Could mean one-party rule. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that. Anyway, we'll be speaking to Robert Hogan. He's a professor and department chair of political science at Louisiana State University. That's coming up in just a moment. I don't mind telling you I'm a little bit underslept because my smoke alarm kept going off in the middle of the night, which I'm glad that it works because if there was a fire, I'd want to know. But there wasn't any fire. It just kept going off, and it was very loud. and it really disturbed me in my ability to sleep. I had to get up on a ladder. Are you calling from a ladder? And I had to take down the smoke alarms. It was like 4:30 in the morning.
Alarms with an S?
Yeah. Well, no, look, they're chained together, right? So you can't even, it's difficult to tell which one is even being triggered, because then they all go off. They're all linked together somehow. So this has already actually happened to me once before. I already took the smoke alarm out of my kitchen, which is a bad, stupid thing to do. I don't encourage people to do that. And now I don't have a smoke alarm in my bedroom either. What am I doing? Who do I talk to about this?
What do you think is detecting to make it go off?
I don't know. I think it's bugging out.
Is it one of those fire alarms that the alarm goes off to tell you that the battery is running low?
Nope. It's hardwired in. It does have batteries in it, but it's not running on battery power, so it's not giving me a, you know.
And this only happens at night?
Yeah.
I'm starting to piece together the mystery.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you guess you're some kind of smart guy, huh? You know about this?
Only at night, right?
At 4:30 in the morning, Coleman, I was asleep.
I see what's going
on. Okay, yeah, I'm sure you see what's going on.
You're smoking hot. See what's going on? See, at night when you get into your pajamas and your PJs and you come out the shower, it's like, woo, look at
smoking.
Him.
Smoking.
Yeah, that's what's going
smoking
on.
Smoking.
Stop being
hot.
Sexy, then the alarms won't go off.
Well, I guess I'm triggering the sexy alarms. But anyway, and then another weird thing, one of my little robot vacuums turned itself on. It just and started vacuuming at like 5. And I've just gotten back to sleep after fixing the smoke alarm situation. And one of my little Roombas is, yes, now is the time that I will begin loudly and aggressively vacuuming the house. And I had to go and I kicked it and I made it go back to its little dock. And then I went back to sleep. But I never really recovered after that. I'm quite sleepy.
Just keep in mind that AI, they do have a very long memory. So I don't think kicking your Roomba is going to like serve you well. It's 50 years from now. It's going to remember that.
Oh, man. He's going to be like, this is for my ancestors, man. And knocks you down. I do want to make sure that I tell you early and often, I am soliciting ghost stories back by popular demand. We will do Spooky Story Hour tomorrow in the 3 o'clock hour. I didn't think I was going to do it this year, but then a couple people yesterday got in touch and were like, hey, man, are you doing the thing you do every Halloween? Because Scoot is kind of always out of town this time of year. And I'm always hosting, and I've in the past hosted like a sort of Spooky Story Hour where I read some ghost stories. You know, we turn down the lights in here and we play some spooky music, and it's cool. People really like it. Even Diane, I spoke to Diane. She was like, yeah, you should definitely do that again. Okay, we're going to do it.
Dude, it's funny you mentioned that. I just heard this spooky story from one of my friends just recently saying how their smoke alarm is going off at 4 in the morning and their robots are vacuuming like just out of nowhere, dude.
Oh, so man.
That guy's
in some trouble, huh?
Right. So I think we could plant a seed for a spooky story just off that premise. The machine's going wild at this haunted house.
It was 4:30 in the morning. In a single shotgun deep in the Bywater neighborhood of New Orleans, Louisiana. When he was awoken by a dysfunctional smoke alarm. So obnoxious. You know what's another obnoxious thing that happened to me today?
What happened
to me? I had to put something in the mail. I had to go to the post office. And the post office that's closest to here, our office where we work, is one over on Lafayette Square over there. So I've taken time out of my morning. I got my stuff all ready to go. I got my shipping label. I got my shipping form. It's all printed out. It's all ready to go. I get over there and I go and the door is locked. The door is locked because of the government shutdown. So here we are. We've all been talking about the federal government shutdown. And now it's finally come down to be a huge inconvenience to me personally.
Not now you're motivated.
Now I'm upset. And I figured out pretty soon that I was going in the wrong door, and then I went to the other door and I got into the post office that way, but still.
Okay.
But still. You know, they don't think about the little people, Coleman. They only think about themselves.
I thought about, all right, so earlier when you were setting up the show, you were talking about how like NASA can't make these super cool pictures of 3-1 Atlas because of the government shutdown. But I would think that somebody in NASA, we just have the curiosity, integrity, just do it
just
anyway.
Just do it.
Just go in.
Just give us
the
photos.
Badge still works. You know, that's what I would do. Like, all right, government shutdown, but here's 31 Atlas is going to go hide behind the sun. Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and take pictures. You don't even have to pay me. I just do
I'll
it
do
as
it
a professional courtesy.
Yes, fire up the telescope and let me take a look. I would be happy to distribute these photos on my own. So I would love for you to send me your spooky stories. The way to do that is to email them to this email address, wwlspooky@gmail.com. Again, that is wwlspooky@gmail.com. I'll read your stories on the air tomorrow. It's going to be a great time, but I need you to send them to me so that I can read them. So please do help me out, especially for you P1 listeners. You know, I know you people that are listening every day, all day, and God bless you. I love you so much. Throw me a ghost story. I'll read your ghost story, huh? Let's get it going. I'm Ian Hoke, sitting in for Scoot. I will read 100% of the text messages that you send me today. I'll reply to as many as I can, and the very best ones I will read on the air, so make them count. That's the Oakland Art Jewelers talking text line, 504-260-1870. We'll be right back with Robert Hogan from the Political Science Department at Louisiana State University. Be right back after this. Don't go anywhere.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're starting out the show today digging into what's about to maybe become one of the sort of juiciest political showdowns in Louisiana in some time. The 2026 U.S. Senate race. Two-term Republican Senator Bill Cassidy is back on the ballot in a ruby red state, but this time the rules have changed. The field has grown. It is growing. His grip on this seat might be looser than it's been in a while. We have these new closed party primaries that are kicking in for the first time. The right wing is circling. Democrats are scrambling just to get a credible shot in red state territory. We'll explore how Bill Cassidy's positioning, the vote to convict Trump, his health care stances, his fundraising muscle stacks up against challengers like Julie Emerson, Blake Miguez, and others. Plus, we'll talk a bit about what this means for Louisiana's broader political map, from City Hall here in New Orleans all the way to Baton Rouge and beyond. Robert Hogan is back on the show to guide us through who's rising, who's falling, and who's coming to shock the establishment next. Professor, welcome back to the show. Nice to speak with you today.
Thanks for having me.
With Julie Emerson entering the Senate race, what signal is that sending to the Republican base in Louisiana regarding Cassidy's vulnerability?
Yeah, I mean, I think it clearly indicates that that Republican activists view him as being very vulnerable. She is a candidate who has a pretty visible position in the state legislature, and has the political pedigree at this point to run for a higher level office instead of waiting to divide her time and maybe wait for the redistricting that's inevitably going to occur, it looks like, in Louisiana, and running for a House seat. She's going for the Senate seat against Cassidy. So I think it demonstrates that he is very vulnerable, that he is able to get a challenger like this at this point to jump in and run against him. And indeed, I mean, I think his record is such that he's been doing everything he can to position himself as close to Trump as possible and to remind voters of that as much as possible. But there are many that still are resentful of his vote following the January 6th attack on the Capitol, in which he voted to impeach Trump. And despite all of his voting with Trump and his affection that he has shown to Trump, and through his many social media posts in which he shows the affection that Trump is giving to him, voters, I think there's at least among the hardcore party activists who are all very Trump supporters, are still very skeptical of Bill Cassidy. And so I think you're seeing him getting more and more challengers. None of them, of course, are Democrats. They are mostly Republicans. And even before this latest candidate jumped into the race here, you had John Fleming, the state treasurer, who has a long resume, was running and was a potential major challenger. Now you have Julie Emerson and others, and it's of course within this relatively new in Louisiana semi-closed primary system, in which you have only Republicans and no party voters participating.
Yeah, I do want to get back to the new rules in the closed primary system in a minute, but I did want to tuck in too. Have we seen anything from President Trump that's even approaching like a message of support or an endorsement for Senator Cassidy?
No. But some symbolic gestures, of course. I mean, you know, I follow Senator Cassidy, as a lot of people do, on social media, and you know, we recently saw that the president sent him a birthday wish, and you know, and Bill Cassidy put that.
That's nice.
It's all, you know, he signed a hat, "Make America Great Again" hat for Bill Cassidy. Bill Cassidy also, I remember seeing, got invited to the White House, believe it or not, for a luncheon or something. And all of these things are highlighted, but not quite what you're saying there. The magic word, of course, is endorsement, and he has not done that.
Yeah.
And that's why all these Republicans are running, knowing that if for some reason Bill Cassidy doesn't get the endorsement, maybe they will.
Yeah.
Because if that's the key, it doesn't matter how much money you raise, it doesn't matter what position you take. Ultimately, Trump really holds the key to who gets to be the next senator in Louisiana. We have never had a president, at least, or anyone, have that much control as we're seeing Trump have.
I'm cracking up at Bill Cassidy holding up a hat and being like, "Look, guys, we're friends. I'm not owned. I'm not owned. It's cool. We're totally cool. I'm totally down, fellow kids."
It had that quality about it. Yeah.
Cassidy has $10 million in cash on hand ahead of this race. How much does that compare? I know Louisiana is not a terribly expensive state to run campaigns in. How far down the road do you think $10 million gets him?
Well, I mean, under normal conditions, that would be a really good war chest there, and it would have already have been effective at scaring off potential challengers. It would have already had an impact, but it has not. I mean, you have Blake Miguez, you know, he's got, you know, $2.5 million. Fleming has $2 million. And you know, an incumbent like Cassidy with that amount of money, he can flood the airwaves in the last few weeks of an election and run away with it. But, you know, the conditions have changed in American politics and Louisiana politics in this particular race, and that, you know, Trump, again, has the endorsement matters more than anything. But even if he doesn't endorse, there's going to be a Trump effect there. And I think that I don't know that there's an amount of money that would be helpful to Cassidy in this regard. I think it is difficult. The activists are going to matter a great deal. this is an election that is going to occur, you know, the first round of it, you know, was to occur in April. Now it looks like it's going to be pushed back due to the special session of the legislature moving the elections in anticipation of the redistricting that is likely to occur. You know, you push the election, you know, into the spring. That is not a typical time most people think of elections going on. And so you may actually dampen turnout. And the sort of people who turn out in those elections are people who are true believers, people who feel very strongly about politics, and who have a strong opinion about Bill Cassidy. If you're limiting it to people who are Republicans, in other words, Democrats cannot weigh in. They can't vote at all in the primary. And Bill Cassidy's success, I have to say, has had a lot to do with Democratic support. And this is going to be an election where he's, at least in the primary, he is not going to be able to rely upon Democrats. And so it's going to be the Republicans and the no party voters, which are very difficult to sort of pigeonhole. And it's unclear how they will fall. There are a lot of them, but a lot of them also may not be willing to participate in the primary election.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a lot of true believers. So I think, and then, of course, it's not just one round of elections. Then you have a runoff election. So again, that is a kind of environment in which a more moderate candidate is not going to do well, I would believe, in the current environment.
That's not a bug. That's the feature, right? I mean, that's why they decided to make this change and get rid of the jungle primary, because it allowed for too much interference, I guess you could say, or participation from, you know, people that are more centrist or more moderate. And this will be kind of our first test of that system. And you say it doesn't look good for him in this regard.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. This is a feature. This was something that was the party activists in the Republican Party really wanted to get rid of the potential for the so-called rhinos being able to be elected. And a lot of people had in their minds, I would think, people like Bill Cassidy. And so the way to prevent that is to reduce. I mean, initially they wanted to prevent no party voters from taking part. They wanted it only for Republican voters, and in the Democratic primary, Democratic voters. And that's the way it is in many states in the United States. But there's also, you know, people, you know, when you poll and when you ask people what kind of system do you like, in Louisiana, they like the open election system that we have right now. They believe it gives more choices. So voters like that. But the party activists would prefer to think of political parties as, you know, more like private organizations that get to decide who they are going to endorse. And so ultimately, we have a situation where the party activists are in the driver's seat, and they've gotten mostly what they wanted.
Yeah.
Not all of what they wanted, but most of what they wanted.
I mean, time will tell. You know, I don't begrudge these people for, you know, they had the ability and the desire, and they thought they had the mandate to do this. I hope that it works out for them in the long run. I think there may come a time when they think, gosh, it would be great if we could elect somebody that was a little bit more moderate or centrist, but we're stuck with this tilted playing field. You know, it's like trying to play a game of pinball when you got a stack of library books under one side. It's like there's only so much you can do to counteract that. Professor, let's talk about the Democratic side. John Bel Edwards exited his second term as governor with pretty high marks. People respected and I think liked him broadly, maybe not everybody. He was kind of seen as Democrats' best shot at this seat. He has said he's not running. No other Democrats have announced. So what would it even take for a Democrat in this situation to even become competitive at all? What would it take? Like money or an endorsement or some sort of national wave or a scandal? How could this break for Dems?
Well, the last, I think it would take something of what you just said last, and that is a scandal. I mean, that is in many ways, you know, how was it that John Bel Edwards became governor? I mean, he was a more centrist, moderate Democrat when he was first elected. But, you know, Louisiana was a pretty red state at the time, and it was that there was a scandal with David Vitter,
right,
that he made a great deal of attention to, the Edwards campaign did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, short of that, I think it's very difficult for Democrats to get any sort of foothold for any statewide office at this point. I think you see what's happening in Louisiana is happening across the country, a polarization in a sense that states are there aren't many purple states anymore. They're mm-hmm. either blue or they're red, and they're going, you know, whole hog one way or the other. And this is clearly a red state. So I mean, the fact that you don't see any Democrats, certainly no Democratic mayors or members of the legislature throwing their hat in the ring. And then also, of
don't
course,
don't John give her any ideas, Professor.
What's that?
Don't give her any ideas.
Give her any, okay.
You know what I'm saying? You're picking up what I'm putting down, Professor. We'd rather move on.
Okay.
The mayors, LaToya.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, but just anybody. I was going for John Bel Edwards there as the perfect example, is that you know, someone who is quite popular in the state. As you said, left office, a popular governor, but just said no. It just really wasn't. It seems to me, even seriously considering the possibility. So he understands the lay of the land and the political conditions, uh-huh. and I think it's going to be a very long time before you see major changes that would make Democrats competitive at all at the state level.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, Professor, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, less the sort of MAGA contingent going after Cassidy for his vote to convict Trump, but what other issues are going to motivate turnout in 2026? It's a midterm election. Trump's not on the ballot. You know, to what degree are the economy and healthcare, culture war issues, something else going to play a role here? My guest is Professor Robert Hogan. He is the professor and department chair of political science at LSU. If you got any questions you want me to try and tuck in here, you can send me a text on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talking Text Line. It's 504-260-1870. Scoot will be back in the seat tomorrow. No, not tomorrow. Thursday. I'm doing it again tomorrow. Yeah. Scoot will be back on Thursday. I'll be back right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Stick around. I would like to remind you, I am soliciting ghost stories or tales of the supernatural. If you have a ghost story from your family or your workplace or just a ghost story that, you know, if we were sitting around a campfire taking turns telling ghost stories, what story would you tell? Write it down and email it to me, WWLSpooky, S-P-O-O-K-Y, at gmail.com. WWLSpooky at gmail.com. I'll read those stories on the air tomorrow for our little Halloween special. It's going to be a good time. Don't miss it. But back to business. We got Robert Hogan on the line from LSU. Professor Hogan, what is going to motivate voters for this midterm election in 2026? What do you see in the crystal ball that's going to get people to the polls in a sort of meaningful, impactful way?
I would normally, under normal conditions, I would say that economic factors mm-hmm. would be playing a big role. Those are the things that typically motivate or don't motivate voters in midterm elections. And also, you know, how the president is viewed, his approval ratings often play a big role in midterm elections. In midterms, there's the sort of cycles of elections are that, you know, in presidential elections, you have a really high turnout. And then in the midterm elections, the turnout goes down because people aren't as excited about, you know, taking part in the election. The presidential election really gets them out to vote in a way that the midterm does not. So the winning presidential candidate usually, their support doesn't show up or doesn't turn out in the midterm elections as it did when they were elected. And so you often have a reduction in presidential party seats in the House of Representatives is one of the typical things that you see. I don't know that you're going to see that in this upcoming election. I don't, and for a variety of reasons. Getting back to what I said initially, I don't know how much economic matters are going to matter that much.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with the spin that both parties have on how things are going. It's just so difficult. We're a year out from, you know, the election, and who knows what's going to be happening. It's hard to tell what's going to happen next week. We have so many different things going on. The Trump administration is taking literally a wrecking ball to parts of the government. Uh-huh. And what is that going to have an influence on? A lot of Democrats believe that you're going to start a year from now seeing some long-term, you will start to see some of the effects of what happens when you shrink different parts of the government. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of, you know, the whole role of economic conditions usually matter a lot, but that's when we know something about how the economy is doing. I think, you know, the politicization that has occurred with regard to the firings of people in that collect data on economic information. Yeah. If you start to mess with that, a lot of it comes down to whose voice is loudest in the media echo chamber. And so I don't know the extent to which economic conditions are going to matter that much. You know, it also comes down to peace, you know, peace and prosperity, peace or war. Who knows? I mean, we've got, I mean, the president is talking, is already, destroying ships in the Caribbean, headed toward from Venezuela. He's talking about attacking, using the military to attack targets on the land in South America. We could be at a war abroad. We could be at a war at home. We have troops, National Guard troops, being sent to cities where they don't want them. It is really hard.
Wow.
Anyone trying to predict right now what's going to happen in the next election, I think the normal indicators, the normal measures that we use, I mean, I don't know that are going to be useful in the coming midterm.
It sounds like the crystal ball is a little busted. You might need to turn it off and on again. It's getting a little foggy in there.
Right.
Professor, I did want to ask you
everything is very hazy, is what I would say.
Ask again. Let's talk about Calais versus Landry. This is the case in front of the Supreme Court mm-hmm. that it was re-argued, which really, really rarely happens, where they hear arguments in one term and then they don't make a decision. They say, you know what? We actually want everybody to come back in and argue this whole case all over again from the beginning. And this is all about this second majority black congressional district.
Mm-hmm.
I would offer, and I'm no expert, but I feel like I've seen a couple episodes of this now. The Supreme Court will strike that map, and they will, in so doing, severely curtail the Voting Rights Act or whatever's left of it.
Sure.
How does that change what Louisiana's map is going to look like in 2026? If they strike down the map that does have, sort of quote unquote the Cleo Fields district in it, right. what do we go back to? Is it possible, I guess, that they could create a whole new map that says, well, maybe we can get a map that doesn't have any Democrats in it at all?
Well, I think that's very possible. If they strike down a significant portion of the Voting Rights Act, it could be possible that we don't go back to one majority minority district. We have none, mm-hmm. and I think that is a possibility, and that would have significant broad ranging implications, not just here in the state, but across the South, where you have majority minority districts and existing in a lot of red states. You would have a reduction in, one in three voters in this state is African American, and they would essentially it would be difficult for them to elect one of their own to the Congress. It would change the nature of representation, not just in Louisiana, but in the country. And it also would have, it seems to me, eventually, the implication is that would trickle down to the state legislative level very soon thereafter. And I think you would see fewer African-Americans being elected to the state legislature. So this has very large implications for who gets their voices heard in Washington and in the state capitol.
It's nuts. I think I read somewhere, there's maybe 30 or 40 seats in Congress that are going to just kind of go away overnight, if the Supreme Court
That's
does
possible.
What we all expect
yeah.
it to do. And there's no coming back from that. And I'm not saying this because I'm in favor of one party or other mm-hmm. at any given moment, but it should be competitive. That's what the whole system is designed to be like. Okay, right. Well, when you guys have the momentum and you've got the money, then you get the seats, and then it swings back the other way. If it never swings back the other way, it doesn't matter if it's stuck on R or D. That's bad for our country.
Well, yeah, one partyism is usually a bad thing. Especially over a period of time when one party dominates, and now, naturally, sometimes what happens is you have a faction within a party. If you have just one party, which can solve some of the problems, it doesn't help citizens understand. Citizens have difficulty seeing which factions are in the party. That's why we have party labels, so people can look to see what is it that this party stands for, what is it the other party stands for, which aligns with my values and things I want the direction I want the country to go in, and vote accordingly. And with that's why two parties competition is you generally viewed as a very good thing.
Indeed. We have to stop there, Professor. I would love to talk to you all afternoon about this, but we'll just have to get you back in another time. Thank you so much for your time. You're working your way. Great to have you back, and we'll do this again.
Nice talking with you.
Robert Hogan is the department chair and professor in political science at Louisiana State University. You want to react to anything you just heard? The way to do it is the Oakenheart Jewelers Talking Text Line. I'll get to your calls as quickly as possible. I don't have any more scheduled interviews until about 3:20, so there's plenty of time to get in and get your voice heard. Do you think that Bill Cassidy's vote to convict Donald Trump should be disqualifying? Has he sufficiently moved past that? Because you can get a pretty reliable vote for, whatever the issue is from some other Republican in Congress. If you had to bet on it, will the next Louisiana senator from this seat be a moderate or a pro-Trump hardliner or a Democrat? Stranger things have happened. We'll be right back on WWL. I'm Ian Hoke, sitting in for Scoot. Stick around. Raymond, I see you up there. Stay on hold. If you're also on hold, I'll get to you right after the news. DR in Belchase says, how could it be unconstitutional to have two minority voting districts but be able to gerrymander voting districts in such a way to water down minority voting power? It is utterly ridiculous on how some voting district lines are drawn. DR is right. And I've been very clear about this over the years. When I've had an opportunity to speak about it on this program, I think gerrymandering should be abolished. I know everybody does it, but it doesn't have to be that way. There was a Supreme Court case not a couple of years ago that, you know, said essentially the federal government has no role in deciding what state district maps look like. So there is no mechanism for the federal government to say to all 50 states, no more gerrymandering. Now, is it possible that another case could get back to the Supreme Court and a differently configured Supreme Court should say, yeah, we're going to have independent districting commissions in all 50 states, so we actually have fair maps and we actually have competitive elections? I think that's the best we can hope for right now. We'll talk a little bit more about this in the upcoming hour. We'll do the news bomb at 2:10. Really want to hear from you, 504-260-1870. Give me a call. I'll get you on as fast as I can. Let's get caught up with the news with the other Ian Ozan. I'll be right back after this. Stick around.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.